Good evening, and welcome to Diversity and Equity in Education. And as you see from the screen next to me, even though it looks like I'm by myself, I'm absolutely not. That ghost voice that you will hear very shortly is the voice of my partner in crime, Miss April Carr. April, good evening.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
April is having some technical difficulties, but listen, that voice and that strength of character is going to come on through. We ain't going to be with you too long. We just want to share a few things with you. As usual, we are committed to our schedule, and we are coming in here on the third Sunday of every month. We are now on the third Sunday of June, and as we segue in, we're leading into Juneteenth. And we are just so excited about that period of time, at the time that we are now. But we're going to backtrack and talk about America in a second. So, April, just tell me a little bit about your week this past weekend or the closing activities at the end of the school year.
Well, the closing activities at the end of the school year did not exist for me because I did not close. Mm. I am still working. So my summer months are no longer as they used to be, which was immediately when the last day when the students departed. Actually, my end of the school year ended in Minnesota, where I had the opportunity to attend the International Education Leadership Conference for Community Schools. So it was good to be around those that do, if not, well, I'll just say similar work that in this new role that I'm in. And it was refreshing to see that those same type of questions that I had as it relates to the barriers, the unknowing of how to navigate in a new space, that it was not isolated, that they too felt that way. And some of them are much so further behind what we do here in Hillsborough County. It seemed like Hillsborough County always have that great presentation of, you know, exhibiting the work that we do in excellence. But for some reason or another, you know, it starts to break down slowly over time, and we hope that that doesn't happen amongst the community school core group. But we are sought out among community schools as being one of the best counties that's doing it. So it's been good.
Good. And, you know, real quick, can you just, because a lot of people were confused about the term a public school, magnet school, community school. Can you just give me a quick overview of what a community school is?
Wow. So here we go.
Yeah.
Community school in this perspective does not mean the school that's in the community. It does not mean that. Community school in this aspect means being able to provide full service. This is my definition. Being able to remove or reduce all barriers for students and their families as it relates to what is preventing them from being academically successful in schools. That's what community schools mean for me. Now, there's a plethora of definitions. If you want to learn more about it, you can always visit the NEA.com or type in NEA or FEA along with the words community schools, and they'll give you all their definition of it as the founders. But states that have been doing it for a very long time, one that is always sought out as being the experts, and it's going to be California. They've been doing community schools for a long time, but that's what community school means for me, meaning that I'm no longer just responsible for 100 kids, give or take, on at Jennings Middle School in a sixth grade class based upon my roster. Now I'm responsible for all the students on Jennings campus as it relates to if they exhibit any barriers that are preventing them from demonstrating greatness academic-wise and actually emotional-wise.
Uh-huh.
So that's community school.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's a good explanation, because being able to explain to people, you know, they all think that it's all one, but it truly is different. And as a community, you know, you want basically service the whole family.
Yes.
Being a community school, okay? So it's not just, okay, drop my child off to school and we're done, but it's like, no, we provide every service. That's what you're providing, okay?
Right.
Which leads into, speaking of services and things that extend beyond the school, let's give everybody a little bit of overview over Brain Booster Camp. We are officially completed week one. of the East Tampa Brain Booster Summer Camp. And I'll give you my reflection as to it, and then I'll ask April to share. So with the East Tampa Brain Booster Camp, the kids that are coming in are getting academic activities in the earlier part of the day, and then throughout the day they have guest speakers. They have additional. Their first field trip was this past Thursday, and I think overall both the instructors, which is myself, really, and the kids really truly enjoyed it. The kids experienced the sound bowl therapy. They experienced one-on-one like mentoring, counseling, coaching. They received, they had financial literacy, which I found was very interesting, the financial literacy. And because, of course, you're never too young to learn about money and being fiscally responsible, things like that. And Jen, of course, just being able to then go out then to Mosey by the end of the weekend. There was just other things. They had yoga. It was just so good. And so, as my pastor would say, if you weren't there, you missed it. Okay. It was just, it's such a warm and welcoming environment. It's totally, for me as a regular, you know, being in the class, it is just such a different environment and experience in the summer, because it's less pressure, less stressful. It's less, you're not being held to such rigorous standards to where you can now sit down and do one-on-one reading, one-on-one math, one-on-one with the kids, and you just don't feel, you know you're trying to reach them at the level they are without that pressure of, it gotta be this, gotta be this, gotta be that. So I truly enjoyed it this first weekend. They're just looking forward to going forward into the rest of the month of June. April, go ahead.
So I will say that, back to your statement of the rigor, it's rigorous. It's just not micromanaged.
Okay, that's the word. That's it, rigor.
The program is very rigorous. It's probably, the kids be on go from the time they walk in the door. The schedule is very connected. The kids are very connected to the activities and the people that has been put before them. They have opportunity to learn new things, learn new way of managing their emotions, regulating their emotions. They are learning probably more, gaining more insight about financial literacy. And like Denise said, then I had learned prior to probably like my 20s. These kids are getting that information right now. So what you just saw in week one is just a taste of what the next 7 weeks have for the kids, because it's a lot. Last week, it didn't even have all the people that were in place for them. So this week is going to be a lot more on go. So we're very intentional about the needs for those students or those participants or those campers that we serve. Keyword, that we serve. Yes, we all was a little stressed and strained and stretched this week because we're learning new little people. That's all it is. They're little people, but unfortunately, they're not the average little people like when we were little people. They're little people times 10 in each body. A very big personalities. they are very forward thinkers as it relates to, they think they have to say everything at all times in any space. So the ultimate goal is to teach them, educate them, embed in them that there's a time and a place for everything. And yes, we want to hear your voices. We want to have your presence. But when you are in a classroom setting or a learning environment and you are being provided new knowledge, your job is to be quiet and to listen. Because if you're not doing that, you're going to miss at least 75% of the information. And we're very intentional about making sure that everything isn't too long and drawn out to where their attention spans cannot be that of useful, to where they're able to collect the information that's being presented to them and then implement it at a later time. So I'm excited for them. I don't know about you, Mom. I have never been to a planetarium. So that was new for me. I've been into the one that we always go see, the constellations, but I never been into a space like that. So correction, I have been in a planetarium, not one that big. Let me correct that.
Right.
Not one that big. Because that one at Mosey that they just opened last month is massive.
It's massive.
So the kids definitely enjoyed that.
Yes. And to your point about the calming down, I think, which I wish was in all schools, but that period of time, I think we are blessed to give the children that period of time where, especially with the song bowl therapy, they actually have that moment where they can be calm, where they can just sit still for a moment, and they can decompress. And I think like one of the biggest pieces of feedback from the children was that, you know, is she coming back every day? And because so when we had them write and be able to express, well, what did you feel? What do you think? And a lot of them were like, well, this is the first kind of quiet I've received in a long time. Like everything is noisy, but it was just so good to be quiet. And yeah, I'm telling you, the first day of the sample therapy, almost everybody went to sleep.
Knocked out. When I tell you, it was not out, spread it out.
Including myself. So I think they got one picture of me. Coach got a picture of me. I was off to the side with just
you and Sergio.
Yes, gone. We were gone. So it's just but you know, which I feel is that going back to the importance of nap time. I mean, sometimes we need a good nap. But I think that just that stillness, and then afterward, just for them receiving, you know, then they giving the feedback about that was just really great. Just to see them, you know, I really enjoyed this. This is how I felt. The body felt relaxed, and these are also coping strategies when they go back to school, and they have to engage in any sort of conflict. It's just remember to breathe through it. Remember to be calm. You know, just be still. You know, just realize it's not. The conflict might not even affect you. It might not be about you, but just breathe it through. So I just thought this was just great, great week one in terms of the strategies and things like that. Can you just give us a quick rundown of NAMI this week had, I don't want to call it an expo because I hate using the wrong words. Tell me what was the activity.
Today is Sunday. Yes. Yesterday we had our Youth Minds Matter annual Youth and Young Adult Summit, and it's designed for families that may have individuals that are currently, and I'm going to try to refrain from utilizing the word suffering so much, because it's not that these people are suffering, they're embracing their mental health disorders, or their families are supporting them in that space of while they're embracing their mental health. Because a lot of times when we use the word suffering, then it leads to a place of how can a person, you know, rehabilitate or heal from something or be able to move forward positively if we're constantly saying they're suffering from it. No, they're not suffering from it. They're embracing it. They're learning strategies on how to navigate in society to where the acceptance is there, not to where they have to, you know, fall in line or do what's expected. But just so that there's a line of, you know, empathy, understanding, and so on and so forth. So we held our annual summit. It was great. We had amongst the participants, vendors, and leadership that was there. You know, we had over 100 people there, and that is great for us. Because, again, we wanted to, our numbers this year was 120, and that was totally, you know, collectively amongst everybody. So we met our goal. And we were excited to see new faces this year and some familiar ones. I just think that a lot of times as a people, we utilize the term mental health matters, mental health this, and we're so about mental health. But what are we doing to meet the needs of youth as it relates to mental health? Most of the materials, the strategies, and so on and so forth, and conferences, summits, workshops are geared towards adults. And by that time, we're having to do more, you know, more hard work than if we had met the child at, you know, during their time of, you know, adolescence and taught them or, you know, supported them in that space. Then, you know, there would be more of a balance for them. So as a NAMI Hillsborough vice president, you know, I came in with that lens of we got to support the youth. We are being very reactive as it relates to our youth when it comes to mental health. We need to be, you know, proactive in that space. And, you know, they always like, you always talking about, yep, I'm going to always be the voice of kids. Youth. And organizations that, you know, say that they have a mental health pillar or, you know, supposed to be educating the community about that as it relates to the youth. we got to do more than, what's the name of that class that they teach youth mental health aid?
Uh-huh.
Enough. Enough.
Uh-huh.
We got to do more than just sit and get in a workshop. The kids need to actually be able to be in spaces where they can voice, you know, how they're feeling, what they see, you know, collectively as a body amongst their peers. And we just don't create enough space for that, in my opinion. So we're very intentional about that with NAMI Hillsborough.
Yeah, I agree, because there really doesn't seem to be any space in school where they're allowed to have that time to be able to connect with somebody, talk to somebody. It's about everything that they're feeling. And it seems like with school, it's just everything is so packed in there that there's, outside of electives, there's really not any, what you could quote unquote, I wouldn't even call it downtime. I would just call it just a time for them to process. They don't have any processing time, you know? So that's a big thing right there. Now, you know what? Speaking of the things that are happening and affecting our youth and stuff like that, let's talk about the big switch for principals. Let me tell you, in Hillsborough County, I think right now there's at least 10 or 11 principals that have been moved to a variety of schools. So before I get a rundown of schools, and parents, this affects you because you're sending your child to a school, especially if you sent multiple children to the same school. This year, when you walk in there with another child, it'd be like, oh no, that's not the same principal, especially a principal that you've known for a long period of time. But here is my, and this is just me, my personal opinion. I know when a lot of principals have done well at a particular school and they've turned the school around or their school grade has increased and things like that. And then the county has a tendency to shift them, move them around. I really think, and again, this is just me, okay, and it expresses the opinion of no one else but me, that they should allow them to stay and continue to build their faculty, build up their staff, build up, just continue to build up and give them more than 2 or 3 years of results. Give them 5, 10, 15, then give them at least, okay, a minimum of 10 years of results. And I mean, I know it seemed like a stretch, or even 7, since 7 is the period of time where they say your debt is erased after 7 years or whatever. Give them 7, at least 7. Because for some schools, it's taken them that long to get the correct staff to get to where you need to be. And some staff have a lot of loyalty to their principal, or it could be that, hey, they're good for morale and you don't know what's going to come in after that. Right. So in light of that, let me just run it through. In light of that here, I got a quick little rundown of a list of the principals who are actually moving, not actually the principals' names, but just the schools that are being moved. I think Durant is getting a new principal. Seminole Heights Elementary is getting a new principal. Plant Tech College, Farrell, Madison Middle, Rogers Middle, Turkey Creek, Bing. Where's Bing Elementary? Where is that?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Graham Elementary, Muller Elementary, Pride Elementary, and then Greco. So, yeah. That's just my personal feeling. Now, April, I don't know what you have to say about that, but
I agree with you totally that we move, in my opinion as well, sometimes we move a little bit prematurely as it relates to a lot of administration to be capable of demonstrating the growth that is expected for a school site to exhibit for the students. And like with anything else, we seem to be the 2 to 3 years and go. Let's switch and do something else. 2 to 3 years, go. Let's switch and do something else. I think that 5 to 7 year period is realistic, and it affords for systems to be, the first year, it's trying to get the buy-in from the staff that stayed.
Uh-huh.
Trying to, gradually, create those changes that's necessary. Then the second year, it's then when you bring on your ideas and, as leaders and your collaborative thought with the leaders that you have, built that core team around. Then by the third year, it's, implementation going hard. This is what we need to do. This is how we're doing it, so on and so forth. Fourth or fifth year, that's where you begin to see, is it working? Is it not? If not, let's tweak some things. And, and that's where any organization, those are best practices. That's just what it is. But maybe we're just so we're considered antiquated in these systems now since we've been in it so long. Maybe we're the anomaly to think that way. It would be interesting to know how others think, but, you know, all the educator friends that I have, even those that's in leadership, they feel the same way. So I don't know.
And, you know, you just, yeah, when it comes to that, I don't know. I mean, sometimes it, you have to consider the anxiety of the staff. They don't know, especially if you had a good principal, then that principal's moving and the staff now becomes anxious, the staff that remains, because they're like, well, we built up a good rapport with this person. What if we get something worse? Or, you know, it might be better, but what if it's worse? Especially since the rapport was excellent. So just keeping in mind, you know, this, you know, when, once you move, especially leadership, you know, you're thinking, just think about the staff itself, you know, and especially when right now we all know and teach him, we are highly understaffed. So what if you drop a principal into a school that's missing, they need all the positions filled, or they need at least a good, you know, one major, one core teacher in every subject, in every, core teacher in every grade level, you know? It's like starting from scratch. It's like starting over. Yeah. So it's just, it's rough. It's rough. So I just, you know, wanted to throw that out there with that. What was I going to talk about? Oh, Juneteenth activities. Now, Juneteenth happened to fall on a Thursday of this week. So I've noticed over the time, over the past week, there've been a lot of activities that took place either last week or this particular weekend right here. So I know, April, you might have gone to one. I've been to one myself. What's the one that you went to?
I didn't go to any Juneteenth activities because our event was yesterday, and that's what it seems as though most of the activities are being held not on Juneteenth, which is weird to me, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why that. I mean, it is a day off. I thought most of the activities would have taken place on that particular, well, it's a federal holiday, if it's still right tonight.
So it's interesting to me that it's not happening that way, but
So I couldn't understand that either, but so we... We'll see what happens there. But there are, just to let you know, if you look up through Hillsborough County, there were a lot of things happened this past weekend. I'm hoping that there's something else this upcoming weekend. And I make myself laugh. And that leads us to what's happening in the world of politics. Okay. Oh my God. People, I know you all pay attention. I try my best to wean myself off of a lot. Right, exactly. I try myself to wean myself off of what's going on. But we're just going to hit you with three of the. Well, we are on our podcast at least once a month, just wrapping up from the month before to this month, and there have just been so much stuff going on, including of course the huge political protests yesterday. What's happening, what's going on over in the Middle East. And then, of course, the shooting of this, one of the, oh gosh, the lawmaker, I think her name was Melissa Fortman, I think it was. And it's just to know what is happening in the country. First of all, as a person of faith, God told us there was going to be wars and rumors of wars and everything. Like, this is coming. We, as you say, we exist in the last days. But just knowing that, all of this is happening, you know, and one thing that stood out to me was when one person kept saying, through social media, all the different conversations, it's like, well, where is this particular black leader? Where are the black people at? Where are the black people at? I'm here to tell you that a lot of black people are home. just home.
Right.
Because these are fights that we did not put ourselves in. We are barely sticking around and holding on. And then currently I'm hearing, of course, once all the deportation of the immigrants and all of them, they're trying to push them out and push them out and push them out. Now, I don't know if you heard, within the last 24 hours, now the current president is saying, well, maybe we should not do that. So, which I just found absolutely hilarious, because big business is probably, well, not probably, I'm quite sure big business has told him, say, hey, You know, if we don't have these migrant workers, we won't have fruits and vegetables. We won't have meat because the one, I don't know if you know about that one raid that took place in a meat packaging place where every single employee was snatched up by ICE. And then they realized, wait a minute, we produce 30% of the state's meat. Yeah. So how the grocery price is going to be there? And then we won't have just basics, the basic thing that other people are not doing. So it's like, you know, the common sense has long left the building. Common sense doesn't seem to even exist anymore. And I just find this whole thing just completely ludicrous. But again, we just going to sit back. At least I know myself. And when we say sit back, when you sit back just and just letting things go completely, because we are having conversations. But the fact that you don't want to get involved in something that will cause you to be on the wrong side of the law either. You know, but we're basically resting at this point in time and just waiting for everything to turn out. What do you think, April?
I totally agree. I just think that we don't have a fight in this right now, unfortunately, as a people. When we was fighting during the George Foreman not George Foreman. Look at me. I don't know why I always say George Foreman.
Floyd.
George Floyd. I'm hungry.
I know. We're gonna wrap it up soon.
You know, bringing awareness just to the injustices as a whole, as a people. You know, the fight at many times just felt very isolated for Black people. Let's just say that. And I don't know. I just feel that we are definitely a part of what's to come in the event that he continues to get away with what he has considered, you know, proper legislation, proper politics, whatever you want to call it. But I just feel that we are not going to respond the same way, unfortunately. Right.
And I believe that's why the response is so aggressive to other groups.
Yes.
You know, once you realize, oh, the group that I really want to target, you think about it, you can't really send us anywhere because, I mean, where are we going to go? That's first of all.
The same place they would go.
Right.
Where you're going back to, this ain't yours either.
Right, exactly. So then you have, well, let's pick another group. Okay, we're going to pick these immigrants who we all, and they say they're violent criminals. But if you're a violent criminal, what you doing at the Home Depot picking them up? Why?
It's crazy. All of it's crazy.
You're at Home Depot, a place like that. That's what, like, when they were talking about going to schools, we're like, well, where the criminals in school at? I mean, I don't see.
Well, let's go back to this. That now he said these good people been here working all this time.
Right.
And now it's a fit. Like, dude, what the heck is wrong with you?
That sounds like dementia as far
yes.
as I can
tell. Yes. And I'm what are the people that around you? Are they just as bad-ish crazy?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
What's happening?
Yes.
You but are traumatizing a population of people that have more...
Right.
They put in more work than you have in your lifetime.
Life. They've actually contributed more in taxes.
Right.
And people also need to understand. It's like, you know, again, this is what happens when racism blinds your common sense. Because, I mean, clearly, like, you know, where racism blinded common sense was, let's take Target, for example. Target's CEO actually had to slash his own salary because he realized, wow, these Black people actually spent money in Target. Yes. So there go, you know, when you're trying to sit to yourself, hey, I'm going to take away this because they told us the DI wasn't good. Whatever. Okay, we'll see what the power of the dollar does. And look at what's happening now. And it go back to, you know, all kind of things. Like go back to the what's the kid that had shot that CEO, Mangione. Okay, listen, his frustration stemmed from, okay, greed too. Someone was so greedy that they're not helping his own family. And that dude was rich, which blew me away because I'm thinking he's like one of us. But his actions made him like one, like the common folk, okay? But other racial groups need to pay attention. I mean, you know, the you will say the Asian people are trying to stay out the fight. But I want to say this to that community as well. There were internment camps for Asians back during the World War. So, you know, they come after everybody. Nobody's safe. So if you're not looking at history, again, history is constantly doomed to repeat itself if people are not paying attention. But the one thing that's driving this whole thing right now is just simply greed. Simply greed. Yeah. Once people realize that it's greed, it's not black people taking jobs, Hispanic people taking jobs. It's not that. It's the corporations. It's the billionaires. It's that few little bitty percentage of people that are stealing from you. And once they realize it's them, it's not a racial thing, because I never stole nobody's job in my life. But it's like, but billionaires are the ones that take away stuff from the little guy. All right, so here you got farms closing down. I have nothing to do with that. You have whole entire productions of goods coming to a complete halt because racism decide, oh, we're gonna just arrest these people. Why? So if people just open up their minds and just start to really think about it, the grand picture, the big picture, they realize this is crazy. The whole thing is just crazy. So my only advice for people is just continue to keep your head down, especially black people. Just keep your head down. Keep your head down, and we'll just see how this goes. Because as you see the flip-flopping taking place, and especially, wait a minute, the big flip-flop was what between your boy, what's the partner who fell out with him? Musk.
Oh, I'm out. And now I'm going to tell on you.
Let me tell you something. I have been petty in my life. I mean, I have done and said some petty stuff. But you should know, first of all, you should know, you know, you ever been in a relationship and you get broken up, you know which one it got dumped based on how their behavior is. So, I mean, listen, the fact that he was texting and tweeting, is that what it called? Tweeted and tweeted every single time. And he just started dropping them. He started dropping up. He's like, oh, yeah, I rigged this thing. I got, you know, I made sure that he won. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you know why when I didn't release the Epstein file? Because he in it. I was like, wait.
Right.
I said, oh, your level of petty is delicious.
Right.
And so it's take flight all the way. And that's just some pettiness that I thoroughly enjoy, because we know when a person who's filled with ego and a narcissist are trying to work together, somebody gonna fall up because they need to be the bigger person. And it just looked like, you ever watched the Knock 'em Sock 'em Robots? It just looked like those two little characters back and forth, and both of them crazy. And yeah. Do you realize? So that if that don't wake people up, do you see that the oligarchs, the richest people, are fighting and they're destroying your life? Turn your anger around from being racist and realize these are the people that creating a big problem right there. And so that's really, really, really what I wanted to end up on. I read anything else. Of course, April again is the quiet box to my side over here.
Uh-huh.
Because she has technical issues. But guess what? Her voice is loud and clear, and we're going forward. What's in store for us next week is our continue again with the Brain Boost. Again, parents, please, all we can suggest to you is, okay, this is like, how many weeks we out of school now? This will be two official weeks, right, out of school?
Yes.
Okay. Parents, if your children are not involved in something, please let them read a book. Please get them somewhere where they can read a book. And libraries have air conditioning. That's first of all. Let's just get them out the heat, okay? Put them in a library and let them read some books. Because if they're not involved in something, they have to be. That brain cannot be on frozen the entire summer, because it's very difficult when you get them back into the school year to just get them started and motivated again. It's crazy. It's, you know, so we just want you, that's our advice for you. We'll be dropping some tips also later on about how to increase your child's literacy. And that's so important too. And then of course, just give them a little math activities, math games. And that's the type of stuff we do at the camp, but you can find a lot of that stuff online. in the form of games in different ways. And I think later on I'll drop some of that information on our page, as well as I think Teaching for the Culture will send some information over there. We'll put it on there. They will put it up there for us. Anything else you got, April?
No, I totally agree with you as it relates to the kids, making sure that they do not have some have summer slide, you know, because it's a real thing without question. Keep in mind, the first 2 weeks of school, the kids are given their PM1. Yes, they're given it. And it will display, you know, how much of the content that they allowed to, you know, kind of escape them as they were video gaming all day, all night, not reading books, never day, and so on and so forth. So again, there's too many software programs that's relatively available to keep that from happening in the event that you chose not to place your child in any type of summer activity. Remember, Khan Academy is one of the most sought out programs, you know, nationwide as it relates to preparing students for SATs, ACTs, and so on and so forth. There are a plethora of videos that walk the students through any core content and some career tech information there as well. So make it a team, no excuse, parents, because again, look around at what's currently happening in the world. If our children are not capable of keeping up with just the auditory and understand what someone is saying or what's happening, you know, in the visual, to see what's happening in videos and so on and so forth, they cannot comprehend what's happening. That's the biggest problem ever. Mm-hmm. Yes, we want them to read, but if they just can't literally comprehend the audio and the visual piece of it, which we've discovered that sometimes they can't. For example, and we'll be done with this. So there was you know how when you call a phone or call a line and it says, please leave a message. Parents, I challenge you all to ask your for them to call your phone and tell them to leave a message. You will find that over 75% of them are going to hang up. Not call your phone. Call somebody else's phone, a stranger's phone. You'll find that over 75% of them are going to hang up the phone because they don't know how to leave a message. They just don't know how. Now, they know how to leave you a message. Mom, bring me some Cheetos, chips, and candy, and da-da-da. Mom, when you coming home? Mom, those normal, you know, back-and-forth conversations between parent, guardians, and, you know, siblings, blah, blah, blah. But ask them to do that for someone that they don't necessarily know. You would be surprised. And then also, it was another thing, too, that came up when we said, even sending a text message to someone outside of family. You know, a professional organization or someone, a coach or something, sends them a message saying, hey, are you coming to the location for the tryouts have changed. Please respond to this message. Emojis, that's not really a response. But for them, that's going to be a lot of response. So again, you know, do some things to get them, you know, using their phones for something different in their. You know, that's that visual and that auditory piece. Get them doing something different, because right now, if they see what's going on politics-wise, it just look like everybody fighting. But what they will notice is that for black people, not a lot of us are in those crowds. The question is why? Because my asked that, where are we? Why aren't we fighting too as well? And, you know, I tried to explain that to the best of my ability, because, again, it's challenging trying to explain that to a child. You know, especially when they don't learn anything about this historically. And plus, right now, when none of it matches what they're taught in school as it relates to how legislation works and Congress work. And
well, I know for me, that part of the reason why I think the protests and things have been going so relatively safely is because black people are not in the crowds. And
think about it that way.
Yeah, you have to think about the fact that, you know, remember, they want to, if from my understanding, martial law can be called quickly. It's usually called right after black people start protesting. So if they keep debating to get us to come out into the street. And since we're not coming out of the street, everybody else is. Well, if you have a majority white people out there in the streets, it's going to look bad if you start shooting them. Okay, so we are staying home. I remember that one, I believe it was California, that one in 2020, when the Black Lives Matter protest was taking place, they put a row of white girls in front, and not one of those black people got hurt because they put them in the front.
I remember that. I remember that. Yeah,
remember? Yeah. So a lot, and them white girls were doing everything, throwing stuff at the police and everything, and not one of them got touched. So so because black people have, you know, we pay attention and say, you know what? In 2020, that's what kept all those brothers safe. So what we're going to do is stay home, because with this type of leadership going on, we need to stay inside the house. Because they will do, if we pick up anything or you just even say the wrong thing, we might risk the ultimate thing, which is death. So it does make, at least for me, a lot of sense to me, while a lot of us, it's safer to be home. We can protest on the book or Instagram or put a little something out there, but in terms of, or stop shopping, like what we're doing, financially crush people. But in terms of physically putting your body on the line, that's not going to stand. I mean, and that's why, you know, historically, this is why a lot of young people don't get that protest piece of it. But it just, again, it must be taught. It just must be taught, because our ancestors did lay down their life and put their bodies through all that so that we can have the quote unquote freedoms that we have today. But we, you know, I strongly believe that's why a lot of reasons why it's just safer for us to stay out of a fight that we did not create. Right?
I agree.
And on that note,
we have a very eventful week this week. I will say that if there are any adults out there that would like to be a part of our Lunch and Learn series, please feel free to reach out to Denise or myself, where you just take 30 minutes to come and talk about what your current career is, or be an inspiration to a child that lives in the inner city. Again, our children learn through experiences. They learn through the experiential learning is the best way for them to be capable of making decisions now in their lives that can impact their futures. So again, if you're interested, reach out to me or Denise. And again, it's 30 minutes. We take lunch at
11:30.
I think it's in between 11:15, 11:30. Yes. And again, no pressure, just some little people, about 30 little people, you know, batting their eyes at you, absorbing what it is that you have to offer. And therefore, you can say, I am making an impact. Okay? That's what it requires. So again, it's been real. We want to thank Bianca Goosby for, again, with Teacher for the Culture, for hosting us. And again, don't forget, receipts lie. Say receipts don't lie.
People lie.
Receipts don't. Receipts don't lie. So, old girl, they tried to scoop up Teacher for the Culture. You can't culture. Say Teach for the Culture, Talk for the Culture. Look, right. None of that.
Mm-mm.
Treat people how you want to be treated.
Thank you. And if you do things the right way, God will bless you.
That's right. Every single time. So, I'm April Cobb with Diversity and Equity.
And I'm Denise. With Diversity and Equity as well.
We'll see y'all this time next month. Unless something interesting happened. Like real interesting. But other than that, we'll see y'all next month.
Bye.